You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, listen, we all know that the world seems to be getting crazier almost by the minute. Thank you for clicking play and taking a break from what is reality, and let's get into the world of...
Dude, seriously, Vegas, what in the ever-living hell...
Yeah. Can't even comprehend it, but hey, we're gonna try to give you a break from all the crazy stuff going on in reality, and we're gonna talk, like we always do, the tech talk and cool interviews of cool people going on in the Detroit tech scene. This is the IT and the D Show episode 216. We'll get into it.
What number?
Well, 216. We'll get into that in a minute. We'll get into that in a minute. Segment two, we got two great guests tonight. Eric Gorgeous is here from A Craftsman's Legacy. You might recognize the name and the show because it's on PBS, and it's one of the cooler shows you'll ever see, and Eric's in the house. And then we also, segment three, Jeff Bajorek's in the house from the Why and the Buy podcast. He's a sales guy like me, and we're going to talk about sales and
how'd he get here?
Me.
Who let that happen?
I just leave it after segment three.
You had your geek talk last week. It's my turn.
Let's be honest. You had your nerdgasm last week.
I did. It was great.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit? Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything was that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What size?
The hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
I know. Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pumpa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, the Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So... what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the one and only IT in the D show.
It is.
And we are at episode 216.
And you are still not. Wait, no, that's the wrong
card. No. For the significance of it, I said after our second episode, we were going to run out of crap to talk about at the 16th episode. We're going to hate each other. And here we are.
Nothing more to talk about.
4.5 years later.
And here we are, episode 216.
Yeah. And loving every minute of it. Wouldn't change
the subtitle, the Screw You Bob episode.
We are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in Studio One in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy. That is Dave, the geek. Nuri, the FNG, is in the house. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walkers in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com. Like us on all the socials and subscribe to us anywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
Hey, and shout out to Todd Cochran, CEO of Raw Voice, who popped by the studios today.
If you don't know Raw Voice, it's Blueberry and PowerPress.
And PowerPress, who apparently has looked us up online and wanted to see how real we were. and so, no, we have not Photoshopped together four studios in a building. Had a great time, had a great lunch with them. Life was good. But hey, before we get rolling, support for today's show comes from Bluehost. Bluehost is a top-rated website provider that powers over 2 million websites. It has everything you need to build the website you've always wanted and gives you the freedom to design the website your way without being limited by templates. It's simple enough for beginners and powerful enough for even the most advanced users, as we always love to say. It's so easy. A Bob can do it.
True story. It's a true story.
And with fully customized templates and third-party app support, you get the total flexibility and control that you need. Plus, with a 99.9% uptime guarantee and automated updates, it's truly reliable and offers maximum security, including malware monitoring, protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs. Not to mention, thanks to Bluehost's 24/7 tech support, online resources, and expert services, you'll have all the help you need to succeed and save time. Bluehost is the best tool to build, host, and manage your website. I don't say that just because it's a bullet point on an ad. It truly is. A lot of our stuff is hosted out there.
Let's be honest. It helps you because it stops me from having to call you to do web stuff.
That helps me immensely. It's a 90% decrease in the Bob phone calls. It truly is, which that's everything. No wonder it's been the top recommended WordPress host on WordPress.org since 2005. And now our listeners save 50% with signing up. All you have to do is go to Bluehost.com/IT. That's Bluehost.com/IT.
That's 50? 50?
50, wow. Not 1-5, wow. 50, yes.
And they're inexpensive to begin with. Wow.
I know they're – yeah, they go do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you're not, you're an idiot.
Hey, before we dive into the topics du jour, mark your calendars. We've got a busy week this week. Tomorrow, the 3rd of October, we're going to be at Pretzel Bell in Ann Arbor.
Well, Randy will be there.
Randy will be there. Yeah. M and Spence will be there. Spencer's married now, so ladies, you got to back. You know, you can't talk to him now.
or just be like everyone else and assume the ring is like a gold cup. That's yeah,
right. And then the 5th, we got our podcaster meetup. We're doing them about every 2-3 months, depending on whenever we feel like it. This one is the 5th over at Selena's, right down the street from our studio. Hop on by. There's going to be no speakers. There's going to be no sponsors. No dollar. No nothing.
It's like all of our other events. No agendas. No nonsense, no BS you have to sit through. It's if you – and you don't even have to – like honestly, the best part of our podcaster meetups is that less than half the people that show up are folks from our network. It's people that are like all around that are just into podcasting, that want to yak, they want to talk, they want to bounce ideas off each other. It's friggin' phenomenal. Come on out and chat.
And as we always say, there's no rules in podcasting, so no one will be teaching you or telling
exactly.
you or showing you or telling you
had
you're
that
wrong.
Talk today, actually.
Good. We'll get into that later. But so with all this crazy stuff going on, have you ever thought about just like, you know, moving to an island and just being done with it all?
Dude, I told you before, I've had a website bookmarked for the better part of the last 18 years, Islands and Castles for Sale.
Ooh.
When I win the lottery, that is step one.
Sounds like a
plan.
Kenny Rogers and
Islands in the Stream.
Yeah.
That is what No, it's Islands and
Islands
Castles.
With Castles?
No.
Ooh.
Well, Ireland.
Well, yeah. I don't think you can buy all of Ireland, though.
The EU might be up for it. Part of Brexit. Who knows?
I think Spain's got pretty good deals right now.
But, yeah, true. Yeah. Barcelona.
So apparently there's a guy, Roger Ver. I didn't even know this was a thing. Apparently he's a Bitcoin icon, whatever that
means.
He's
the guy when it comes to Bitcoin. Yeah.
So basically what he wants to do is basically move to an island, and not like that little crappy island outside of Britain that like that oil
like
rig.
Didn't Pirate Bay that was my first thought was like, hey, didn't Pirate Bay try this?
Yeah,
they tried to insulting Sealand.
Yes, I'm insulting. I am personally Sealand, you it. Can't even there's not even a couch on Sealand. No place to there's no place to poop.
I think they've got just servers, like a, though. They've got servers in Sealand.
Yeah, you know, sure. There's fiber ran out.
They have servers, but no couches.
There's no couch.
It's, you know, Bob.
Sit on your server. Keeps you warm in the winter.
Bob has demands.
It's for gambling. But I want a couch. If I'm going to live anywhere, I need like someplace to have
coffee. You want a couch
coffee.
And a $4,000 Japanese toilet. That's
yes.
What, that's
oh,
all you need.
The $8,000 one. I need the upgrade. But apparently Roger
Bob
Ver
prefers a bidet.
Wants to start his own like anti-anarchist paradise. He wants like a no government, new island,
like
all cryptocurrency. So he's going to do nothing but blockchain cryptocurrency. And no and government.
That's adorable, but
like for someone that just got their house broken into this weekend, how do you feel about having no government, Dave?
Yeah, so I guess let's talk about that for a sec.
Dave was on the news again.
Yeah, go figure.
Not even once, but twice.
And I wasn't on Flashpoint. Oh yeah, there are bells. Yeah. So in case you're not friends with me on Facebook, Wacky Mayhem ensued. And some douche canoe walked into my house on Saturday night. And
was he looking for beer or wanted to say hi? Or?
I don't know. Well, apparently, based on what they found in his backpack when they caught him, he was looking for iPads and tech and that kind of stuff, which my house is full of.
No.
Go figure.
Crazy.
Yeah, and so that was a thing, and yeah, he laughably. And here's the power of social media for you. So Douche Canoe walks into my house. I post something on social media.
DC for short.
Douche Canoe.
Fine.
So many meetings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. He and so you know, like cops show up at my house. The neighbors are gathering around. We're all like swapping video footage and that kind of stuff. Somebody got a great, like, just phenomenally perfect still of him. And he was apprehended less than a half a mile away from my house because somebody saw my post on Facebook, saw him where he was, and went, "Oh wait, that's that guy." Called 911. Whoop whoop. That's the sound of the police.
But this guy, how big of a duper do you have to be? He still went looking at, like, he walks into your house, so hears you coughing and like coming in from the garage.
So we figured it out. I don't think he heard me coughing. I think he walked into the house, saw the TV was on pause and not off, and went, "Oh shit, someone's home." Because looking at the video footage, he was in my house for like 8 seconds. Like, didn't grab cash.
But then he kept looking at other houses, though. He didn't, like, run. Like, you'd think,
no,
like,
after that, he
yeah.
ran.
Yeah. Oh.
He went to other subs and started looking at other houses.
Right.
Because that's where they caught him, was in another sub.
Don't you, like, okay, I never robbed a house before, but I, like, just saying, like, let's get in that
Allegedly.
Let's get in that mindset. I'm doing it at, like, what time is no one ever up? 4 a.m? 3:30,
yeah. But no.
But also, doors are locked at 4 a.m.
I'm gonna case joint 8 o'clock at night,
right?
And I'm gonna be a creepy.
Wear a white
give
jacket.
Me a bell. Asshole.
And wear a white jacket.
And I'm gonna go ahead and stare at people through their windows because, dude, like, we have video footage of him staring into our neighbor's house, their home, with their 8-week-old baby.
Messed up.
And he's staring into the, like, he's looking in the living room. The house next to them, asshole climbed up 10 stairs to get on their back porch and get to their door wall where the husband's sitting there with his, you know, 11-month-old and their 3-year-old and their 5-year-old.
Do you think he's watching to be creepy or do you think he's like, oh, how many iPads are in that room right now?
That's totally what he's doing. And like, and that's what they kind of figured out is like, she had an older iPad. Like, literally, because the kids play with it on the floor right by the door wall. So he was trying to figure out there, can I slide this door open and get to the iPad without anybody noticing?
And for everybody outside of Michigan, door wall means a sliding glass
door. Sliding glass door, yes. Just FYI.
Outside of Metro Detroit, even.
Yeah.
Honestly, we knew that term in New Hampshire. I think it's a regional thing. But
and you got on the news, And of course, you wear like the black jacket.
Of course, I wear my Pod DET shirt.
Podcast Detroit shirt.
Blacked out sunglasses.
And sunglasses. I'm like Corey Hart going on right now.
It was bright outside when they showed up at my house, Bob.
Being squinty on TV looks really bad.
Yeah. I didn't want to be that guy.
I'm squinty.
I was trying to represent as well.
And you didn't even name drop us once.
No, I did. They edited it out.
Just coming home from Podcast Detroit.
I was like, so, you know, I didn't have to run a show at PodcastDetroit.com that night. So, you know, I was sitting there at the house watching Game of Thrones. And yeah.
So, you know what else is creepy? Did you hear about like what's going on with like Tinder with like user data?
Dude.
So like the EU, Europe, changed their privacy laws.
You
changed their privacy laws. Where now, like, you can get access just like we can with like Freedom of Information Act, but this one goes for like personal data. So this person from December 13th is matched with like 800 people. Or no, I'm sorry, like 900 some odd people. Went to personaldata.io. They live in England, and they were given back 800 pages of data. That Tinder knows every single thing about you.
Yeah.
Forever.
And it's even creepier. Like, he once had his Instagram account associated with his Tinder account. He pulled that back. They had all the pictures for while his account was linked. They had that in that data dump, as well as every time he opened the app 920 times, how many matches, every message he's ever sent, his education, the age of the people he was interested, how many times he connected. Basically, it was like
– how big he is.
He sent 1,700 Tinder messages. That's a little creepy.
And basically, we just volunteered this shit for free. It's like, hey, Tinder, guess what? I'm into
again,
all these things.
If you're not paying for a service, you
are
the service.
But the 800 pages of data, that's like
I'm not going to lie. Like, every now and then I've thought about hitting the Facebook – send me all my data, because that's a link underneath there.
I've done that with Twitter because I have like tweets from like years and years ago that are hilarious, and it's the easiest way to get them is to like request your tweets.
You think they're funny.
And then use them, right?
I want to know, but I don't want to know.
But like the memories thing is one thing. Like that, I don't mind. But like it said, you've received 69,000 likes. And I'm like, I gotta stop Facebooking. That was
like the friendiversaries are weird enough.
I don't want to know that. I don't care.
Oh, Facebook is so weird. I'm gonna tip my hand here. Like I date several people, and I went to one of my groups.
Oh yeah, tipping your hand. Yeah, this is the first time that's ever come up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
but they're like, I date several people, and then I went to one of my groups, and it says the following members of the groups, and it's the people that I date. One person that I tried to date years ago, but was never successful, but still kind of hold candle for. And I'm like, Facebook knows. I've never once put my status at
Facebook.
They were,
you get me.
Facebook knows.
The funniest thing I've ever seen. So the company that I work for, you know, when you click on a website and then you go to like whatever news site you're watching or whatever, and there's the ads in the middle, and it was a pop. It was our banner ad.
Right.
And this person screenshot and said, "Oh my God, we're advertising on whatever.com. It's amazing." And you just saw like this collective like 3,000 face palms like going, "That's cookies. It's cookies. Just back away from the."
I saw Apple's.
You're in data security. Back away from the computer.
Apple's trying to change that, right? They did something in iOS 11 where they're no longer going to allow apps to follow you around.
Well, no, they're limiting the number of cookies that can be written. Yeah, that was that. Yeah,
right. No more oatmeal raisin. Get that shit off my
right. It's a big – like I know it's a big thing every year because it's when all the guys – it's when everybody gets their vasectomy. March Madness is apparently going to be played by high school teams this year.
It's going to have to be, or they're going to show the women's. They got to do something.
Dude, the FBI is cracking down hard on college basketball.
So –
I thought blue chips was fiction.
Oh, God, no. No, that stuff's been going on since the 80s. Like the whole Chris Webber, the U of
M. The Fab Five thing? Yeah.
Then the next, whatever, the Lou Bullock, all those guys, the same thing. Every school goes through this crap. That's the joke in basketball. How do you think Shaq made all his money in college?
Right.
You know, well, now Rick Pitino, who's like the godfather of college basketball next to like, and so like Dick Vitale is on a. No, but you want to talk about the godfather of college basketball. He's like the quintessential voice.
Yeah.
He's like the biggest cartoon character. And he pretended he didn't know this stuff. Oh, it breaks my heart to know what's going on, baby.
Sure he didn't
I didn't know anything going on. Like, oh, come on, man. Like, everyone was hushed and quiet about it. And you guys were all in on it.
Yeah.
And it's all coming crumbling down. And that product's going to be awful for
the
next
wall
8 years.
Is tumbling down. Whoa, whoa.
No.
And the wall.
Stop. No, we're not singing 80s songs. But when the FBI's get involved, like, and then you have people like the big names getting just crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to.
Dude, it is. Like, it's like big colleges that are coming. And they're just like, here's the thing. Like, by the time the FBI announces that they've got an investigation ongoing.
It's been going on.
They already have all the things.
Well,
like, they're already – everyone who they're interested in is already screwed.
Well, and
so now it's just who else is going to get caught in the fallout.
And here's the thing that's every tech vendor on the planet has a March Madness party that Friday. And it's going to be – obviously the tournament's not getting canceled. But there's going to be a lot of different coaches.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of different stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, hey, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We had Rick Lane in here from Proofpoint.
Yeah.
And there's an article that came out on PR Web. They released Nobe4 released their quarterly top clicked phishing report for Q2 17. And it's amazing the crap that people click on still to this day. And I don't really want to give too much away because it's kind of but like if you say security alert, people are clicking. 21% of the emails that say security alert, people are clicking. Revised vacation and sick policy, 14%. UPS label delivery. Dude, I get those all the time. 10% are clicking that link. Now, here's where it gets funny.
United show on a
A United Airlines passenger dies from brain hemorrhage video, 10%. A delivery attempt was made, 10%. Change of password required immediately, 8%. Unusual sign-in activity, 6%. Like, it's getting – like, my kid asked me, like, hey, I got an email from this thing. I go, listen, you never click a link. I don't care who it's from.
Nope.
If you got to go to a thing, you go to the website and you find out if there's a problem.
And you figure out if there's an issue, yeah.
Right.
Okay, sure.
But I go, that, like, you know, we used to, like, I don't know if your company used to do it, but we used to get the fake ones all the time.
Oh, God, yeah.
But they were so painfully obvious. But, like, come on. If I get an email saying, like, a brain hemorrhage video, like United Airlines, like, I'm going to go to YouTube.
Right.
So if it's not on YouTube.
And look it up. I got one the other day that was really good at work. It was actually like super legit down to like, please enter your – it gave our domain name. So this was like super targeted spear phishing.
Damn.
I'm like, something's wrong with this. I don't think this is right. And I forwarded it over to our security guys.
Skeptical nerd is skeptical.
And then the message was gone from my mailbox and from my sent items. And we're like, we're on it. I'm like, oh, shit. I love it when a company takes things seriously.
Hey, so Bob, I know you're a big fan of conspiracy theories.
I love them. We did not land on the moon.
And global warming is bullshit.
We totally landed on the moon.
It totally is.
But so global warming, though.
What about it?
Is a thing.
Is it climate change now or did it change back?
No, it's cow farts.
Oh, that's the conspirator?
Apparently they've decided, like, there's been a huge study that decided that all the other earlier studies were wrong.
Funded by the liberals.
Hold on a minute. What degree do you get for you study cow farts?
Do you attach a balloon to, like, a cow?
I don't know. That's
and, like, count it by volume or what?
Well, and the funny part is that apparently it's cow belches. That are even more
cows
responsible.
Burp? Of course, they probably do.
Yeah. So apparently, cow belches are more responsible for global warming than cow farts.
But it's still a thing.
So stop eating meat.
Yes.
No.
Because it's all the farms.
No, because then you don't get ice cream. So we can't not. And butter is gone.
And steaks.
And steak is gone.
Let's like forget ice cream. Right. Steaks. Let's be honest.
So great. Like, so the planet goes up like 2 degrees, and then we get steak and butter and ice cream.
I'm just saying.
Right, but like. Cow fart? Come on, man! Like who comes? Someone got paid to do that study to stick balloons in cows' buttholes to like study the methane, and then like, how do they? I don't even know where that. What do you do with it then?
I don't know. Stand behind them with a lighter,
right? But like, is there more cows now than there was before? Like,
yes.
Listen, there was
that was the thing. Is there are far more cows now than there were because we're raising them to live on farms.
Well, there was a billion people in 1900 and now there's 7 billion people. So,
apparently our farts are not as problematic as cow farts.
So in 2011, they said 1.4 billion cows.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Great. Give me my ice cream.
So speaking of things that smell bad, you guys see the news today about Sonic and Whole Foods and Deloitte got some clarification today.
Breaches be tripping.
Breaches ain't shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today apparently 5 million Sonic credit cards breached and they're already for sale. And what they're worried about is that they're so fresh that banks may not have had a chance to cancel them yet.
Yeah.
Which is super.
Good God.
So check your stuff if you eat at Sonic. 117 Whole Foods. And what's really weird about this is Whole Foods has not released almost any data about how much or where. Apparently they just put up a site late last week. East Lansing.
Is it 2017security.wholefoods.com?
Is it wholefoods.com/customer-protection-response or something weird?
Amazon coupon.
And then what was the third one? Oh, Deloitte. You know, we talked about this last week where Deloitte said, oh, no, don't worry. It's just a couple accounts.
Right.
Turns out that it was
all
of their admin passwords were taken and pretty much their entire email database.
Yeah.
And even worse, the Deloitte knew it was going on and tried to hide it to their own employees, maybe.
Duh.
And sent out a mail saying that it was Security Awareness Week 2016 and you had to change your password by tomorrow.
It was all in their from what I understood, everything that the Deloitte thing was all in their cloud. Not saying the vendor because it doesn't matter. But everything was – nothing was done on-prem. It was all cloud-based apps.
Wow.
That messed it up, yeah.
So and
because they're a customer of ours and we were completely absolved of it, and that's how we know.
all I'm going to say is if you've ever liked a page that mocks Donald Trump or talks about Donald Trump on Facebook,
isn't that every page?
You're pretty much exposed. The DOJ is getting your info and just accept that and move on. But the big one that I loved because we love
the DOJ, not like the IRS 6 years ago. Now it's the DOJ, this
right?
Time.
So we love artificial intelligence.
No, we don't.
No, well, we love it and we fear it.
Only when they make us food, not when they do other stuff.
Right. Well, but so like this was like the good kind of AI because it's a sex robot. And we all want better performing sex robots.
Dude, you ever see those shows? That's creepy as hell.
I've seen the documentaries
on
Netflix.
That's so weird,
absolutely,
dude.
Have. And apparently the guy that was in one of those documentaries brought his latest gen sex robot,
one of those sex robots,
to an expo and all the people broke it.
How'd they break it?
Because they were overly fondling it. they were a little rough with the sex robot.
I mean, let's be realistic, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's like fondling like a Sears mannequin. How creepy are you?
That's
like,
awesome.
Come on. Like, we all know the Sears mannequins have heart. I'm not even going to talk about it because that's – no, it broke it.
They said there's a brothel in Austria where actually it is one of the – it's the second most popular
thing
at the – It's a really bad word to use. It's an attraction at the venue for £73 an hour.
It's the second most popular ride.
£73 an hour. It costs to rent it, right? And then it all costs $4,500 US.
So this means you're going to start screwdriving now? And I'm not talking about like you with your deck or with the locks.
There's
your
no orange juice involved.
No.
And vodka. Like, yeah, no. So that's the new thing.
Well, no, like
we talked about this when the Wii Vibe hack came out.
Right. But like when I go to Duffy's and drink the there's that one guy there. They always call God. I forget what the hell his name is. But he always like wants to unzip his bag and show me that he's war driving. I'm like, that's great. Just, will you leave?
Adorable, cute.
Cute. Yeah. It's like brandishing at a gun club. It's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
But apparently now you can do this for the
all the connected sex toys,
the IoT sex toys,
IOP, IO.
Oh, no, that's no
IOB, right?
But apparently, Pentest Partners has a delicious report on
so to
how.
Speak.
It's sniffing hardware, which is like the jokes, like they write themselves.
Sniffing and penetration.
Seriously, though. Apparently they used blue fruit and Uber tooth works fine. But they're basically walking through. Basically, here's the code. Here's how to basically break into IoT devices. What do they do? Just turn them on in the drawer? Like, that's not fun.
No. Just imagine, like, say you're at a concert. So say you go to like a Def Leppard concert. And you're standing up there with one of these devices. You just turn it on and watch all the people just kind of like hunch over a little
twitch,
bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be a lot of fun in Screw.
Because, I mean, there are, like, panties with them built in, and it's a thing. Like,
well, see, the problem is now that, like, there's way to do, like, they're showing right down hearing aids.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, you can't mess with people's, like.
It's a unique pen, seriously. Like, as a manufacturer, people are going to get into your device. They're going to figure out how it works.
And they're showing people right here. It's, like, painfully simple. Like what I can do. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Eric Gorgeous from A Craftsman's Legacy. This is the IT and the D Show, and we will be right back. Oh, my God. I just told Nuri.
Wait.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 216. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek.
Whoop.
Nuri the FNG, thank you for the beer.
Sorry. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Oh, you got that stuck in my head now. I was trying to get my three-year-old to do it the other day because one of the movies came on there. Anyway, Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in studio. Find us online, IT. InTheD.com, because we are IT in the D, and you.
You still aren't, and oh, are you going to be
so, he listens, doesn't he?
They listen, and they hate us.
We love you.
And we love every aneurysm that we cause.
We got a very – before we jump in with Eric, we got a very cool review. We don't get very many reviews.
Do you have it pulled up, or should I?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's one of my favorites because it's like I hated you before I loved you. Which is very common and familiar in our world.
I teared up a little. It was actually a really good review. I'm like, this validates me in what I do.
Totally, totally. It was everything that we strive for here, which is, yeah, we're doing it wrong in podcasting. Yeah, our intro is way too long.
So the title of the review is, I thought you sucked until I gave you a chance. Heart.
Aww. Isn't that a Michael Bolton song?
Could be. Or, you know, maybe Christopher Cross.
Right.
I wrote this podcast off before I ever listened to them. I was put off by the long theme song until I listened to it with an open mind and pure heart. Now I love the show from nose to toes. They have very listenable voices and the life experience to back up what they discuss. I actually feel smarter after I listen.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's knowledgeable and funny, quite the tightrope to walk. I'll never miss a new episode. So, hey, Francis Shea Fox, if you're out there. Love you.
Cheers.
And I'm listening to old ones when I have the free time. I'm even planning on going to a meetup to say hello. Hope you come out.
We'll buy you a beer.
Great job, fellows. And the end theme is spectacular, too.
Look out, Flash!
So this was the opposite of complaining about the length. So do you take 15 seconds off for this?
No.
Oh, I feel like I might have to.
Yeah.
And you, too, can write a review for IT and the D by visiting us on iTunes.
Right. Wherever. Fine podcasts are sold.
But hey, we have our old – it's an old friend. He hasn't been in the studio yet, so it's been about a year.
It's his first time in this studio. Well,
it's been a little over a year.
Yeah.
But we got Eric Gorgeous in the house. You might know him from
– And he's not a wrestler with the name Eric Gorgeous.
That's, seriously. what you could do with that name, I swear to God. Like porn star, wrestler, like so many cool things.
I don't think I'd go for
it. But no, he builds motorcycles and runs a show on PBS.
Right. But hey, it's Eric Gorgeous from A Craftsman's Legacy on PBS, which is actually one of the cooler shows. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me out again.
Good, good. Yeah, we got reached out and saying, hey, Eric hasn't been on in a while. He wants to come back. I'm like, oh, my God, yes, please.
People want to come back? Yay.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I had a great time.
So you're on season 4?
Yeah, season 4 starts airing in Detroit here this Saturday, the 7th.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, like, so let's walk through, like, what is A Craftsman's Legacy? Like, what's the premise of the show?
Absolutely. So I have the best job in the world. I get to travel around the U.S. and work with craftsmen all over the place doing amazing things. So it's woodworking and metalworking and leathers and glass and stone and
dude,
textiles.
He's a blue-collar technology evangelist.
Yes.
No, but if you've never seen the show, this is like all the lost art stuff. Like these are people like you think this is like Greenfield Village, like look at him in the window. But no, these people are making a living, like making this amazing stuff by hand.
It is really, really cool, man. I totally dig it. I mean, one of my favorite part, you know, the thing is I love every minute of filming it. You know, I love sitting down. We talk to people, little interview thing, and find out about them and their story and their journeys. And then I get to work with them for a little while, you know, and learn some more from them, get hands on, get hands dirty. And that's sweet.
So, okay. So what's the coolest, like from your perspective, what's the coolest episode that you've done? What's the, like, what's the neatest thing that you've been able to dive in and be hands on with?
Man, I really, really, really dig every single episode, even the ones. I mean,
who's what's your favorite child?
Right. That's exactly what you're asking me. So, you know, I'm really drawn to the metal. Obviously, anytime we're doing anything with metal, it's super cool. It's fun because it's something that's familiar. Woodworking's cool for me, but you know, all of them. I mean, there's sometimes, you know, we get into something and I think, oh, I'm not sure how much I'm going to enjoy doing that, but I really end up enjoying it.
Yeah. Now, like, there's a huge push in getting people back into the trades, like saying, hey, you don't need a quote-unquote lib arts degree to make a living.
Yeah, stop majoring in Spanish for the love of God.
Right. Hey. Absolutely. But, like, has the Mike Rowe, like, movement helped? Or are you helping? I guess, like, where's it all, you know, what are you seeing out there?
Thank God I'm seeing interest in working with your hands again. You know, whether it's Mike Rowe and all the great things he's doing, or it's our show, or it's just people that are trying to get back into something that is real.
It all started with Pimp My Ride, and then it went all.
Well, no, I mean, exhibit, thanks. We've talked about this with numerous guests before. You know, even Adam Janai from Mob Steel and those guys. You know, it's like it when my nephew told me they don't offer a shop class anymore.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And that's what he was really interested in. And they don't like that's not a high school. Man, I was Anthony Michael Hall. I had to build the effing elephant with the trunk, and I had to, you know, that like that was a thing. Like, how is that not like how do you not have to learn the basics anymore? And this world we live in, it's so, you know, you have to go to college, you have to get a degree, you have to wind up in debt for the rest of your life. You know, that like there's this whole skilled trades industry that's kind of been pushed to the wayside that is a completely viable option for people that is ignored.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's a tragedy. You know what I mean? Like we think we're doing our kids better. Oh, you know, you're not going to work with your hands. We'll get rid of that. We'll get rid of the arts. We'll get rid of all this stuff and, you know, work with computers and all these other great things. But, you know, unfortunately, there's a ton of people that really should be working with their hands because they're good at it, you know?
And the world needs ditch diggers, Danny.
Let's not go that far.
You know, I mean, it's a bummer, man. It really is a bummer.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, dude, like, again, house got broken into this or like walked into this weekend. Had somebody come out Sunday, make sure that the motion detector lights on one side of my house were working, installed the motion detector lights on the other side of the house to make sure they were working, you know, that was there. Dude, I don't know what I'm doing. That's what you guys are for. Like, that's not my realm of expertise.
And that's cool, you know, but it's pretty cool today, too, because you can pretty much learn how to do everything on YouTube or online. I mean, that's just incredible resource.
Well, the problem with it, too, like what I see is, like, if you say, oh, I'm a blue-collar guy, you get trash on by society. But, like, if you're an artisan, it seems to be fine.
But it's artisanal welding.
Right, but if you're a plumber.
Worth out of the ground? Or?
Yeah. But if you're a plumber, then it's bad. Like, there's this weird, like, yay, nay.
You're a sanitation engineer.
But like, but you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
oh, yeah, for sure, man.
There's, like, that weird line of, like, what do you, like, I'm an electrician. Oh, big deal.
Dude, I dated this chick for years. She thought I was a motorcycle mechanic.
All right. Whatever works.
I'm like, and eventually I was just like, that's exactly what I am. I'm a motorcycle mechanic.
I mean,
like,
at my core, yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, everybody loves the HVAC guy when their furnace isn't working.
Yeah.
That's when he's a hero.
Hey, it's July. It's 100 degrees. My air conditioner's out. Yeah.
But then when he's blocking your way in traffic, he's the biggest butthole.
Right.
But it's I don't know. It's a bummer that they've ripped all this from the kids today. You know, because
like, I truly didn't understand. That, like, it's like an entire generation now has been lost to that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I went and worked with a Cub Scout group not too long ago, and which I love kids. I love kids. I love teaching them. I was a big, you know.
Eric's huge in the macaroni art world.
Oh, dude. Let me tell you something. You haven't seen anything until you've seen my macaroni necklace, okay?
He is the master of Pinewood Derby.
A little bit of glitter. Some beadwork. I don't remember what I was saying.
You were working
with the Cub Scout group. Oh, yeah,
Cub Scout group. But it was a little bit sad how many of them didn't really know even what like a screwdriver was or how it was used properly, you know, and things like that. And, you know, you show them different hammers and it's like they think it's all the same, you know, and it's a bummer.
Wait, man. There are different kinds of hammers?
We'll get to that later.
Confused Dave is confused.
Don't worry about it. They're all the same. You hit things with them.
I know hammers. I know mallets. Those are different. But yeah. No, so I mean like so season four. So like what do people have to look forward to? Like who are you talking with? Like what's going on in the episodes in season four?
This season was pretty awesome. A lot of diversity this season. So, you know, we start out working with a fellow who makes Western swords. He's amazing. You know, this scientific knowledge this cat has.
Just admit you wanted to go to a Renaissance festival.
Oh my God. So bad. I just wanted to hit something with the sword. Like I'm sort of bummed now that we didn't actually practice with watermelons or something.
I was saying, I did not put a watermelon on a stick. No,
I didn't think about it till after the fact, man.
That's why we should be producing. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know, creative consultants.
Right.
Seriously, it was totally after the fact. And I'm like, why did we not have watermelons or something cool to hit? But yeah, that guy was amazing. I went and worked with some ski makers in northern Michigan. They were totally awesome. We went skiing after it. You know, a jeans maker. Went down south, down to Texas, worked with a cowboy hat maker, a guy that makes bits and spurs.
Okay.
You know, that was super cool. Went and worked with a company called Gerstner & Sons. Now, if you're in the trades, I know you know Gerstner. Because they make
so I have no idea who they are.
The absolute finest wooden tool chests. Company's over 100 years old. The original founder, Harry Gerstner, is long past.
Okay.
But it's still with
I would hope so family. Or else he's a vampire.
Yeah, that would be cool, but that's not the case. But what was cool was they're still in that same building. They've always been in this one.
So like wooden tool chest. Like,
wooden tool. Like, very
so just tool chests made tool out of chest. Wood?
They're basically where they... Where they caught on was with the machinists.
Okay.
And now they've dovetailed into different industries. So gun collectors, knife collectors, you know, different people have these chests. And they're highly sought after. You know, it's a collector's item type thing. Look it up.
I'm going
to. Got a computer.
No, like that's a
big thing.
Like in my head, I can see that they would be a cool thing to have. Like because I've got to – I own a house, so right. I've got like the Craftsman orange.
So for you,
thing,
you'd buy a Gerstner, you'd put both your screwdrivers in it, maybe one of your hammers, and your measure.
I'll have you know, I have like 12 screwdrivers,
and then probably 20 USB cables.
Probably.
So you put all that in there, and then your trading cards and everything else.
Like, can I have a drawer for like thumb drives? Because that'd be perfect.
You probably need a box for thumb drives, but. Gerstner, you know, in its prime, like in the 30s and 40s and whatnot, in its prime, you'd get hired for a job if you had a Gerstner box because the owner knew
that you took your stuff seriously,
your skills seriously, serious enough that you invested in that box. You'd get hired just on site.
Like, I really want to make sure I understand. Like, so, like it's a toolbox made out of wood?
Yeah, they're chests. They're only about this big. They make big ones, but most of them are like yay by yay.
Okay, so 2 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah, I was like, for those listening to the podcast. Yeah.
It was funnier or better with just the hand gestures, you know?
Everybody's I can turn on the video if it'll help. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So what was cool about that was that, you know, in every show we've done to this point, we've always worked with the founder of the company or that one person who carries on this company, right? They started it. This was the first time we worked with a large company that the founder wasn't involved in any longer. It was somebody else carrying the legacy on. So it was really special. And it was super cool walking through this building that was so old.
So it was, truly a craftsman's legacy.
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
Good job. I suck at that, too. The whole pun thing, I'm never really good at it.
No, but I think with the whole, like, curly mustache, like, the craft cocktail, like the artisan.
What's wrong with my mustache?
No, yours is great. but I'm just saying, it's bringing all that stuff back where it almost died. Then it all kind of came back with food, with metalworking, with woodworking, it's got to be like a huge lift for, I'm not saying your business, but I'm just seeing that it's all kind of, you know, there's a resurgence.
Absolutely. It's a lift for everybody because, you know, there's so many people out there that are working with their hands. And now it's just a little bit easier to make your way, you know, to sell your products, to build your name.
That's what our joke is. Like, you know, a fire pit is like $80. But in our artisanal.
But the Detroit fire pit, the Detroit artisanal. Fire
right,
pit.
With the metal got stolen from the
Packard plant.
From the Packard plant is $1,700.
$1,700, and yeah,
the Carhartt logo on the back.
We talked about the coolest thing. Like, what's the? Because obviously, you guys, you know, you have a website, you have a show. Like, what's the oddest request that you've got in for somebody that wants you to have you come out?
Let's just say
– let's rhyme. That's what we do.
No, it's like
– it involves Kellogg in the early 1900s.
Right. You know, rhymes with Schmellogs.
I think one of the coolest things, the most humbling thing for me is the number of people that write is just amazing. The people that reach out every day and, you know, most of them are super, super positive. Every once in a while I'll get one that's, you know – dude, what's up with those vests? Or, you know, something goofy, you know. But for the most part, everybody's super cool about it. And a lot of them are nominations. Hey, check out this guy. Hey, check out this guy. And we use them. That's how we find a lot of people, you know, because some of the people we feature, they're not online. They have no, you know, it'd be really hard.
They're just doing their thing.
In other ways. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so like you're, you know, so season four is obviously, so you've already filmed season four.
Yeah.
Like how much material do you have in the backlog?
Tons. There's no end in sight. Honestly, we could keep doing this show for a very long time.
It's like Cops. just keep the camera rolling. We're good for years.
Yeah, I wish we had that kind of theme song though. Man,
we'll come up with one for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Your theme songs are too long.
But worth listening to, as we just heard.
Right.
I do like it, though. It's super cool. But I'd get killed for running that, you know?
Well, yeah, on PB. Yeah, you would on PB. Yeah, that's a thing. All right. So, what haven't we hit on that we should?
Geez, I don't know. Social, you know, our online audience is growing.
Well, you got a motorcycle shop in Detroit.
Fast. Yeah, the bike shop, Voodoo Choppers. That's moving. You know, we're still doing motorcycles.
I could walk to your... We just found out I could walk. If I wasn't so lazy, I could walk to his motorcycle shop.
You need a little rascal, dude.
No, my kids have the – my kids have the motorized scooters.
He stole the Meyer cart.
He takes it back every week to charge it.
Right. Actually, I want to see Bob on the monkeys, but I want to see him on those tiny little motorcicles made for kids. The monkeys.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want to see Bob on. I had a mini bike when I was a kid, yeah.
Nice.
My mother almost had a heart attack every time I sat on that thing. Yeah.
Then so
suddenly,
did the bike.
Then suddenly, it was, yeah. Then suddenly it was stolen from the backyard. Yeah.
Along with your goldfish.
Right, yeah, right, right. Yeah. But hey, how do we find what days are airing?
So it's different all over the country, right? So, you know, you got to really look up your local time because it's PBS.
It's PBS,
so
yeah.
So the best way to do that is to hit our website. It's right on the homepage. You can put in your zip code or your state.
So, and your website is?
Craftsmanslegacy.com.
Okay.
Yeah. A Craftsman's Legacy.
You can do either.
Either, okay. Yeah. Good.
They were smart. They have both.
Yeah, yeah, good. Just checking.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've got a couple misspellings, too, just to be on the safe side. You know, you can never be too safe today.
As you should.
Because people don't know how to spell legacy.
Right. No.
Well, you know, here in Detroit, it could be like the goalie.
Stop. You know, it's people that leave out craftsmen's. They leave out that.
Oh, craftsman legacy. Yeah, I could see that.
So that. Anyways. From there, you can find us. And then normally we're on the Create channel, too, which is huge. I mean, that's a fantastic channel for everybody. If you're into working with your hands or making stuff or cooking, that's a great channel.
I love Create.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, yeah. And for what it's worth, I mean, we'll give a little shout out and a plug. You were just sitting in with Jimmy before this show.
Yeah.
Hanging out on Arc Junkies.
Cool,
and that'll air there. Yeah, he's a good dude. And that's his whole focus is people to do what you do.
Yeah, that was fun, man. And you know, we've still got Ford as a sponsor, which I'm very, very grateful for. Yeah, they came on day one. They believed in us. And, you know,
how awesome is that?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Man. Very cool. In today's age, it's tough.
But hey,
sponsors that believe in you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Novel concept. Yeah.
We really appreciate the time. Look forward to watching season 4.
Thank you.
Had fun watching seasons. I caught like 2 and 3.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah. I was DVRing it.
Yeah.
No, Eric Gorgeous, A Craftsman's Legacy, PBS, Deborah Stitcher.
For the record, GORGES.
Yeah.
Not gorgeous.
It's how you pronounce it.
It's a homonym.
But get your DVR set for.
I called you a homonym.
Get your DVR set for A Craftsman's Legacy on PBS.
It's a great show.
Yeah, we'll look forward to catching you on air, and hopefully we'll see you at one of my corner bars by the house.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
Eric, appreciate the time.
Well, I just heard, like, Jimmy's doing a tour of Voodoo Chopper.
It's right around the corner from my house.
I feel like we should come out.
Yeah, we're in. Tell Jimmy to make that happen. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Jeff Bajorek from the Why and Buy podcast. We're going to talk about sales. So if you're so all you techies.
We had to go ahead and see myself out.
Mary, you can go. You had your geek thing last week, and we're going to talk sales. But hey, this is the IT and the D show.
And we'll be right back.
I let you do it.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITintheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 216 of the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting here, Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek,
whoop,
and
whoop.
Nuri the FNG is being. He's hanging out. Huh?
That's also the sound that ICP makes. Oh, my God, have you seen the billboards for the new Detroit voting machines? They're called the ICP voting machines.
Dude, who let that happen?
Oh, my God, it's so great.
I saw that, and I almost drove off the road.
Fruity G is laughing right now. I don't know what their names are. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in the studio. Find us online at itintheD.com. Subscribe to us on the Facebooks and subscribe. Did I say subscribe to us on the Facebooks?
Yes.
And like us everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Please.
Before we get to our next guest, some important news.
Oh, boy.
Saturday, October 7th at 2 p.m. at the Midtown and Ann Arbor location by Best Buy. Both of those McDonald's locations will have Szechuan sauce available.
If you watch Rick and Morty, it means something to you.
It's very important. Yeah, very important breaking news.
Wasn't that the Sriracha sauce?
No,
Szechuan.
Okay. Yeah.
The Mulan promo. So this Saturday,
thanks for playing.
October 7th, 2 p.m.
Can I get it on my Filet-O-Fish?
You can get it with whatever, I think. Oh. But I'll be at the Midtown location standing in line to get myself some Szechuan sauce.
There's lines for that?
You better believe it.
Big Mac sauce line was like a mile long, and you could make it
Thousand Island dressing. And
exactly. Mayo,
yeah,
but hey, we are joined.
By all means, carry on. Let's talk about sales.
Right. I was a guest on his podcast a couple times, and he asked, "Hey, can I come on yours?" I said, "Absolutely." Jeff Bajorek's in the house from the Why and the Buy podcast. Dave and Nuri are totally tuning out right now, but how the hell are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm great. The days are getting shorter and the squirrels are getting fatter, Bob. It's great.
I know the days are getting shorter. I was like up at like 7:30. It's getting dark. Like, what the hell is going on? They're both on their phones right now. So
let's talk all about the sharp angle clothes.
Oh, no. We're not getting into that at all. No, I want to talk about your podcast. Like, what was kind of the inspiration? You're a sales trainer by profession.
Sure.
You help companies kind of hone in the skill, and it's a lost art, and it's changing, and it's dying, and it's rebirthing, and it's changing, and it's pretty much every 6 months, if you don't like sales, it'll change on you. What's the podcast? What are you digging into?
Well, no, it's funny that you call me a sales trainer, because I hesitate to call myself a sales trainer because then I'd be confused for a sales trainer. There's a certain way that you feel about
people
like
that. Wait, so you're different than like Sandler?
You mentioned the name. Yes.
Yes. Well, we've mocked him openly on.
I say that's blasphemy.
Well, but that gets into the and
hey, you know what? I'm so busy. You should be working for me.
Dave, we would talk about Sandler, right? But it's probably something you're not interested in.
You're not
right
interested
now.
In. It's probably not. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. I've been in IT sales. Let's just jump right into it. I've been in IT sales for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. You've been in IT or
25.
Sales.
Don't sell yourself short.
25. Oh my God, has it been that long?
It really has.
I'm an old man. but listen, the days of shtick have been dead for so long, and I think anyone that does it I don't think they get it, or it's one of those things where I'm almost the firm believer you're either born to be a salesperson or you just shouldn't be in the business.
I think we're all born to sell. And that's
well, that's the one thing I tell. Hold on. That's the one thing I tell
we're
Dave.
We're all in sales.
No, Dave's in sales and he always cringes and he hates me when I say it. I go, you got to sell something. You got to sell your team. You got to sell your boss. You got to sell someone to do something. Yeah.
You ask for the car keys on a Friday night when
sell
you're
your podcast
years old.
Network?
Oh, it just anytime you've ever asked for anything and gotten it, you've made a sale.
Yeah.
Like let's just eliminate money from the equation and realize that it's a transference of value. Often I like to refer to it as a transfer of enthusiasm. You're really fired up about this podcast that you heard. You're going to tell all your friends. They start downloading that podcast, you just made sales. Like let's eliminate this whole idea of what's it going to take to get you into this fine used automobile today? Like, that's not what it is,
and that's the problem.
Very direct, and you and I have talked. Like,
yeah,
I read a lot about sales. You've never read a sales
no.
book in your entire life,
no.
But you're really, really good at it, and that's the point. Because when you stop getting in your own way, when you start realizing that it's just all about being real, being authentic. I've got something I think you are going to enjoy. Listen to this podcast. Watch this TV show. We were talking about you when you left, Eric. I mean, the rebirth
Thank
of the
you.
Craftsman. You know, and how we all grew up. With
well,
those.
And it's, like honestly, I think like that's the difference between the douche canoe sales guy and like a genuine sales guy is. Yeah. When they're actually working for a company / product that they enjoy, they love, they believe in. It's like,
Dave,
us with our reads.
No, you saw me when I left Cisco and I started with a company that,
yep.
And you could tell exactly when I turned.
And you were a miserable emmer effer because you were so fake about it.
Yeah, and then I got to somewhere where it's cool.
And now you're enthusiastic again.
Because it's good.
Yeah.
And because that's the thing. Like you can only fake it till you make it so many times before you see it in your sleep.
It's our reads. It's the stuff we do on our show. And it's like you can tell. I've had people shoot us notes where like they can tell the difference between like stuff that we are actually engaged with and stuff that we're actually like, dude, I sleep on a Casper mattress. I've got the automatic in my car. I've got my Scotty Vest hoodie.
With Harry's.
Yeah. I shave with, you know, and it's like they can tell when we're like genuine about stuff versus when it's, hey,
free shipping with the coupon code.
Yeah.
If you can't get the product across without having people occasionally pay for shipping, then you're going to have a hard time selling for that product.
And let's talk about this right now, and I'll open it up the worms. Like my whole life I've been in either a value or a better product sale, right? Mm-hmm. HP has a value sale. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can cut out your data center cost by X. Cisco, I was in a, hey, we are the Cadillac of data center.
Mm-hmm.
Both have phenomenal, you know, product in stories to tell. Now I'm in a situation where there isn't that. It's data security. It's visibility. There isn't that. There isn't that ROI. I can't. Well, what's it worth to you to see? Like that conversation can't exist because
right.
it doesn't happen. So it's like
a proven entity.
Right. So you know. So we're stuck selling features and it doesn't work.
Right.
And like I guess again, I can only do so much. Right. Like I'm not here to like, hey, you really need to be in this car. Like the guy today at the furniture store. No, I said I came and I wanted a sectional. No, I don't want a sofa and a love seat. Right. Same thing with what I'm dealing with now. Like, yeah, I want visibility, but no, I don't want that. Like, how do you get around, like, when you're not, like, preaching value? Like, I told – that's the thing that I don't get, like, with salespeople. I told the guy exactly what I wanted. I wanted a chair I could drool in and recline. I wanted a sectional to make my wife happy. And, like, he couldn't deliver. Like, how can you not deliver on that when I explain it so blatantly?
Well, there's two things that he missed. And I think the two most important things that are the two most – important or crucial factors that go into selling are listening and empathy. He did neither of those two things.
No.
You told him exactly – listen, I'll sell you that. I'll get a job somewhere to sell you that couch and that chair because I know what you want. I'll just take the commission. That's easy money. Like how do you not just – how does someone not
how do you not just make that sale
of the store and take your credit card? We take it to MasterCard American Express.
I don't care if I like it or not. You
so
like it.
The car before this car. Yeah, was – you know, so I walked into the dealership and I said, okay, I've done all my homework. Here's the car I want. That – go do. And he's like, oh, well, that car's not here. It's in Rochester Hills. I'm like, yeah, I could go to that dealership if I want to.
Yes. Do you want to make the sale or do you want the guy in Rochester
right.
Hills?
Right. He's like, oh, well, we can get that car here.
Well, I told you that's how I bought my diesel. I wanted the CC. The guy asked one more question. What do you do for a living? Sales guy. You get mileage? Yep. You want the diesel.
Yep.
Why? 50 miles of the gallon. Sign your press art 3 copies.
Yeah. With the faked results. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get free money. Yeah.
And then I just got and he got me a free car just now, and I just bought a car for my wife. So, I mean, again, I went to a different dealership just because he helped me, you know. But, you know, the stigma that comes with – and you don't know how he met Dave, do you, Jeff?
No. I haven't heard the story yet.
So
all good stories start with
a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So I've run a hosting company since like 96.
No, let's be honest. You had a server like in a colo with like 8 websites.
It was 2 at the time.
It's not a hosting company. It's like a couple servers.
I had more clients than you did.
Oh, I didn't have point taken.
Sitting burn.
I didn't. But let's be honest. It was 2 servers and you were like, okay, go.
Yeah. And so Bob like would cold call me from wherever he happened to be that.
There was only so many web hosts and I was selling colo.
And I was on a list.
Yeah.
And so it was like, hey, you should come do IOC. Hey, and then like,
I didn't work for IOC.
And then 6 months later, hey, you should come to. And so like literally like the foundation of all of this literally comes down to Bob being cold call sales guy and me going, no, dude, F you. Let's him finally going, hey man, just meet me for a beer.
Right.
All right, let's talk. And like, and we met for a beer, and life was good, and wacky mayhem has ensued since.
Oh my god,
then.
We like comic books and sci-fi. Right?
Yeah,
like,
the FU episode, isn't it?
It really was. Yeah. Yeah. It is the FU Bob episode. It totally.
I deserve every bit of it.
Well, we talked before. I think it was the last time when you were our guest on my podcast, The Why and the Buy on the Podcast Detroit Network.
Hit the bell, cheap plug. Hashtag cheap plug, yeah.
You were talking about how you were meeting with these engineers, I think, in Chicago at the time. And you were talking about your relay times or something for the servers. You were – help me here. I'm drowning.
No. I would what I did was what – you know, I was making these – they sat me down at a desk and said, Cole, I went from selling beer to selling IT.
Right.
And I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground, let's be honest. And but I was a geek, so I kind of got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get it, right? And so I sat with all of the customers that were after hours, all the engineers. And I said, you know, hey, you know, let me buy you a beer. But first, why are you a customer?
Mm-hmm.
And they would sit and explain to me, hey, you know, draw me out what you're doing. And then so they would draw me out. Okay, I get it. Why are you a customer? This, this, this. Okay, I get it. Right now, when I'd call someone and said, oh, by the way, you know, we have this. We have this. Be our guest.
Yeah.
Right?
I was leading into that.
But that's what helped me sell. It wasn't, you know, I knew right off the bat nobody wants to talk to me.
No, right.
But I'm a stupid sales guy. I've made a living off boosting my or selling my SEs, mm-hmm. right? Like at HP. It was me and my SE. Nobody cared to talk to me. It's my SE. So I would come in, lay the foundation, let them go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, when you asked that question, you listened and you could put yourself in their place. So you could listen and you had empathy. And then what you were talking about in terms of speaking engineer.
He didn't have any empathy. He did not at the time.
A little bit.
It's a skill that's developed over time. But what you did was you understood what was really going into their decision. And it was nothing that you were pitching. It was nothing that was on your website. It was nothing that was on your shiny, glossy, beautifully printed brochure. It was, why are you buying? And then when you took the voice of the customer and actually took it to other potential customers, you could relate to them on a level that they needed to be related to, which is way different than, hey, Dave, I'm working for this company right now. Can you, you know, buy this thing? No.
Well, bring your service here.
The worst thing in the world is if you ever talk to a CIO, a CTO, a CISO, and ask them what their voicemail box looks like at the end of every day.
Gross.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm.
That's why Bob loves this. Because honestly, like, we are now his in. Like, every security conference we get invited to, Bob's like, all of these people that would never return my phone call, that would never talk to me in a million years, they see a microphone, they come over and they sit down, and now we're having coffee.
Well, but I'm cool about it, though. Like,
no,
I'm
you
not,
are.
No, 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 yeah, but here's
no,
the thing.
For real.
Well, no, like, that's, but that's the intro, and then it's like, you being you that actually doesn't scare them off running screaming into the
right.
night.
Right. And I'm quick to, like, if they say you're a butthole, then I'm quick to, like, okay, cool, see ya.
Yep.
I don't, you know.
But that's the value that you're providing, and you mentioned that word earlier. I mean, value means something different to every person. So some of these CISOs are going to say, yeah, I'm really not interested. Okay, then great. You're not going to press for it. Right, but for some of your customers, you've got an audience and you've got the ability to give them a voice to talk about what they want to talk about. That's providing something to them before you ever ask for anything from them.
But that's what I fear for every CI. Like in July, I didn't even want to call on one customer because I knew Cisco was calling them at 8 a.m.
right.
every day, going buy in July. It's end of year. It's end of year. It's end of quarter. It's end of year. And that's the one thing.
Here's our discount du jour.
Right, and that's the one thing that drives me nuts about like companies like that, and I can trash on them now because I left.
I can be honest now.
We would go to these global sales kickoffs and said, hey, if Cisco would hold 1 point of margin more than our discount rate, we'd make like $30 billion, whatever the number was. It was ridiculous, right. You know, like $1 billion, $2 billion, whatever. But I said, stop doing end of quarter, end of year fire sales.
You train your customers.
You train all of them. EMC, they all did it. They all know to buy at the end of the quarter, and they'll hold out, and they'll hold out, and they'll laugh, and then all of a sudden, like the last day at 4:59, hey, how about 100? Like the sold.
Yep.
Right. You just train them, and it's bad. It's just sets the worst precedent.
It's awful, and I mean that's the thing. How many times do you – I mean anytime you buy something, how many times do you just say, yeah, you know what? If I wait 2 weeks, it'll go on sale.
Dude, I'm a jerk, like especially when it comes to like buying cars and that kind of stuff.
You're not a jerk.
So like I said, the last car that I bought was that story. This car that I bought was me with – all right, dude, hey, sales guy at the dealership that I'm going to that is close by my house, like I found this. Tell me why I'm buying from you and not them.
Yeah. And I
negotiated that entire car sale via text message.
Yeah. No, and then I'll tell you what. And I go to a dealership to get my cars, and we're on a lease cycle, my wife every three, me yeah. every two. And I call the guy, and I'm like, hey, I want the same thing I had last time. He's like, okay, great.
They're like dogs when your dog dies. Just give me another one of them.
Leave it in black, clone that. Leave it in white.
And I'm like, okay, I want it in black. He's like, you want to come in, pick it up on Friday?
But with like, but with new stuff.
Well, no, yeah, it's like the updated, yeah. You know, that, yeah, that's fine. But there's no, let me show you this. There's no, that's why I keep going back to him. Because
there's no BS.
Process.
Yep.
I don't need to be walked through how to set the navigation system up and right. Everything else. Like, I can, I, well, this is the third car in a row.
Yeah, Nary, YouTube exists. I can figure it out. Yeah,
Nary, let me ask you this. Do you get called on?
Fairly regularly, actually, yeah.
So, I mean, how do you weed out, like, the idiots versus, like, the ones you said, all right, this guy's all right?
I think in my space, things are a little bit tighter, so I know what's going on as far as technology is concerned. So I'm looking more at the technology.
Fair.
But even then, there are some guys that call me, they're just absolute tools. Like, I cannot stand even being in the room with them, basically, because they're so salesy. I mean, look, I'm like an early 30s. IT manager, know your audience. Don't be that guy.
Well, see, here's my problem, and I want you to address this. Here I am, you know, early 40s, mid 40s. I'm not in mid 40s yet, almost there. But I'm like the seasoned IT guy, and I have seasoned
IT
sales guy.
Seasoned
sales guy. But yet, I can only
vintage.
I can
IT.
Only touch so many clients. So I have two ISRs that are attached to my region. So now they're the ones spamming and they're the ones putting my name on email invites and they're the ones calling on my behalf to set up meetings. And it's brutal because I don't know what to do about it, but it's the nature of the business. So like you got a, you know, a 24-year-old direct out of college going, hey, my rep's going to be out in your region. Like, would you like to have coffee with him? Like, it doesn't hold the same weight,
doesn't.
You know, and I can only make so many calls a day,
right.
But it's the nature of the business. So it kind of ruins, I guess, the whole aspect of what I do, what you look for in trying to build rapport with somebody in the field.
And that's the important things, right? Building rapport with them.
Yeah.
There's one guy who was just like, God, he's probably in his 50s and he was just so up in my personal space and his breath stunk.
Oh,
and he
God.
Like, it was like almost creepy the way he talked to me. I'm like, I will never do business with your company. Seriously. That's
yeah.
Like, that was like – based on my interaction with that sales guy.
Right.
So it's, I don't know.
No, but that's – it.
That's what we face.
Yeah, that's the problem we deal with. It's like you. Everyone's got their different – like I might – you might want to go out with scotch with me, but like Eric here, if I say, hey, let's go smoke cigars and drink some scotch, you're like, I am on the wagon. Like you don't know.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
No, I do that too. So any of my sales guys listening,
and you can't bring yourself to go. Let's go to a juice bar.
No, but it's
someone else gets the
it's
sale.
It's a tight rope for us walks. We don't know.
It is, yeah.
And I want to be myself, and I want to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to be at the like when I go to like I always go. I'm going to be at the Hofbräuhaus at 5 o'clock. Any of the reps want to go? I'm buying. You know, and I get a few, but like some guys weren't drinking or like, hey, I can't drink on Tuesday night, man. I got my kids soccer and crap. Like for me, I'm on vacation because I'm out of town, right? It's a dilemma that we all face. It's like
what I've seen too is especially with some of the reps that I work with, they get, well, I can't get this guy out to dinner. I can't get this guy out for golf. I can't get this lady out for drinks. I can't. And it's like, well. No, because they're not interested in drinks. Like that's a
commitment, man.
It's a okay. We're gonna go play golf. That's 6 hours.
Yeah.
On a weekend, especially.
Yeah.
You know, dinner. That's a couple hours. Drinks. Like again, it's a Tuesday night. Like I know you're in town, but drinks really. Like you're more likely to get coffee because that's a 30-minute commitment. Drinks.
It's work,
that's plural.
Too.
It's hard.
When I was a sales rep or a sales engineer, it's like people are like you're always eating at the fancy restaurants and you're always drinking at these great places. I'm like, it's work.
Oh, make no mistake, it's work. There's some perks, but it's work.
It's work.
And there are early mornings, late nights, the travel, I mean, everything else. I mean, it's people see the.
There's no time clock.
No, which works against you. You know, but I mean, that's the thing is these superstitions are so ingrained, right? To where you're leading with, let's go to this really nice dinner. Like some of the people you're calling on high level executives, listen, they can go to the Capitol Grill, buy their own steak anytime they want. Now they have to do it with you. Like that's
like, right. Like took this really good steak and ruined it for me.
You know, they want Selena's.
Right. Dive bar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's just so much lower key. You can be more yourself. You can be more authentic. You can really make a personal connection there. And that's the thing is, you know, we're so in tune to these old superstitions that we don't like to let them go. And the people who can are succeeding a lot.
We try to do like the whole, like the old lunch and learn at the Morton's. We try to do like executive dinners, like CISO dinners at like someplace really, you know, like Smith and Walensky's like in Columbus. Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to go. Because again, I'm going to eat up my 6:30 to 8 for you. Like kiss my ass.
Right.
right? So, like, for me now, I ask for a 20-minute meeting. Yeah. I want to respect your time. If you think if I'm an asshole, you can tell me to get out real quick. Mm-hmm. And nobody's, you know, like
– I got that as a cold call the other day. The guy's like, Henry, 2 quick minutes to tell you about my platform. He's like, and if you don't like it, you can tell me to sod off.
Yeah.
And he was from Ireland, so my phone rang and it had Ireland.
Which
on,
is like, why he said sod off.
This is why he said sod off. And then I'm like, no, I love you guys. I love your products. He's like, well, then give me 10 minutes. I'll show you a quick demo of how this works. Like right. that setting a very small time commitment, being staying within it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, I mean, it's just, oh, God, well, that works.
So when I set meetings and I say we're in for 30, and if we're doing that, I'm like, I'm looking at my clock and I go, how are we doing on time?
Well, you know, if you fly me to Ireland, you know, all the time you work, all the time you need for a demo.
I will buy one of everything you're selling.
Aren't you in the market for a castle over there?
I might be.
I know a guy.
Mm. Well, no, and that's the thing that I'm noticing too is even when people call me, you know, good salesmanship gets rewarded. Mm-hmm. If you can actually reach out, make a connection, do the right things for the right reasons.
Dude,
if I see you working.
The sales guys I know that like I like, I build a relationship with. It's a thing.
Right.
It is. Because I'm not going to shoot. I'm not going to. Dude, there's my – it's two
– we're what, 20 years in? I still haven't bought a thing from you.
No. No. I think I got like a $400 commission check because you moved your shit to Brad's.
Brad, there you go.
Yeah. I'm on my third vacation home in Tahiti because of you. But it's not about that. It's really not. And the ones that are good at it don't need that sale.
No.
And because they have – 20 in the, you know,
yep.
And it's like, you know, and my big thing is, you know, and Nuri and Dave and just kind of a shout. I was telling Jeff before I go, this is the announcement I want to make. Just tell me no, man. Like, you have no idea how many people keep stuff in the pipe for 6 months because they won't tell me no. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to go, come on, man.
Yeah, no.
I'm right. not just say, dude, no, we're not doing it.
Not on a thing. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be like, great. I hope to see you soon.
Yep.
And we're good. That way I don't have to talk about you to my boss because you have no idea.
Because still holding.
We're moving out to Q2.
Still
what do you
pending.
Mean you're moving out to Q2?
Still pending. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's not.
MEDC, still pending.
it's again, and if all you do is if you dropped. You dropped, and I'm not gonna.
And you move on.
I'm not gonna get yelled at. Right. Why'd they drop? No budget. Great. Next, and that's the. I think that's the biggest problem. Is like I just want to like you're not gonna hurt. No one is gonna hurt my feelings.
No. And bonus points if they actually give you a reason, right? Like, look, hey, look, this is not. I mean, where you're at too, Bob.
Yeah.
It's brand new. Like, look, this is so cool, but not anywhere close to our radar screen. We just had our meeting.
Yeah, you're
with. We've got this.
It's ahead of. The, it's years. Way too far ahead of the bell curve. You know,
yeah.
It's,
no,
yeah.
I hear it all the time. Got no budget. We have budget for 3 projects. You're not one of them.
Yep.
Let's revisit it in Q2. Great.
Call me when you see us on the front page of CNN. Yeah,
but if you tell me that, then great. Then I'll call you in March.
Yeah.
And life is great.
Yeah. When's your budget cycle start? I'll call you. We'll
do you
talk.
Still want me to call you? Yeah. Yes. Great.
Do you really want me to call you, or is
Are you being polite? Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's not a. I'm not going to be
Should
like.
Should I really call you after the Poison concert? Or
no. But no, but it's true though. Like it's a mutually exclusive. We try to build a mutually exclusive relationship where it's
yeah.
You tell me, I tell you,
dude. This like I said, the sales guy that I dealt with at the car dealership, I will follow wherever he goes right. now.
Yeah, just like
he
I did.
Was that easy that. To deal with.
Just Imagine like I did.
That. The average sales guy you're running from, right? And the good sales guy,
yeah.
Please
no, I don't need to imagine that. Yeah.
Information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, you know like, what I found out? You know what I found out? The guys that are killing it, and it's funny because we're dealing with this now. We're like, we got a huge asshole on our team, right? And like, what do we do with them? I'm like, listen, there's assholes that have been like the number one rep, President's Club. And like, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I go, it's amazing to me how like those guys succeed and the nice guy who's like, hey, buddy, because like I'll see it, man. Most of the enterprise reps I run into, they're kind of dicks. And because they're brash, assertive. And they're like, are we going to – yeah, they're assertive, and it's something I'll never step into, but it's fine. But it's funny how those guys always keep killing it.
Yep. Yep. Well, and assholes buy things too. That's important.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's important to know. But also, you know –
toilet paper, but yeah.
What makes a guy come off as a jerk is often the thing that is going to move the thing along. So when it's just, hey – just tell me no, please. Just tell me no.
You know that you're guy, pretty fitty, but your face is pretty, but damn, you look fat in those jeans. Like, you know, but for some reason, like that crass honesty.
Mm-hmm. I'm not normally into big teeth, but on you, they work.
Right. No, but it's like I find like those guys, like you run into them, like they'll never return your calls. They're such buttholes when you hang out with them. But yeah, they're killing it.
Yep.
And it's such a weird, you know.
They have swagger.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, that's what it is. They know themselves. They believe in themselves to an extent to where they're not up. They're okay offending you, but they know that they're moving the process along, and that's why they kill it. Now, you may not like them anymore, but they're getting their job done as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, yeah. So, how do we find your podcast?
It's on the Podcast Detroit Network. You can go to thewhyandthebuy.com, and you can. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. You can go to jeffbajorek.com. iCore Strategy is my partner Christy's company.
Okay.
Christy Walters is amazing. We met about a year and a half ago and decided we wanted to do this thing, even though she's in Atlanta and I'm in Detroit, and we're having a lot of fun with it. We're going to almost triple the amount of episodes we do.
Because if only there was somebody local you could do a sales podcast with.
And you could also
do another podcast.
And you could also catch him as Captain James T. Kirk in the new Star Wars movies.
Oh, that's right. I had to.
But hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 216. Yes, we made it.
The FU Bob episode.
I don't.
Let's be clear.
No, but let's be honest. I still hate you, Dave. But we haven't run out of stuff to talk about.
We haven't run out of stuff to talk about. But yeah, screw you too.
We're
going to
wrap. We're going to wrap things up for episode 216.
That's right. We are. I think we're at the 20 years married stage where it's, you know, that first couple years where, like, you F every day. And then, like, then every now and then it's like, hey, you want to F? And then 20 years in, you're like, F you.
I got no comment. Hey, I'd like to thank our guest, Jeff Bajorek from the Why and the Buy podcast, Eric Gorgeous from A Craftsman's Legacy. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Bluehost, for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri and Randy. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to us. And oh my God, I keep doing the meatball ending.
You're about to.
Yeah. And do us a favor, drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you soon. Beat it.
Destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet. It's brilliant. Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.